And on today's Windy City Queercast, Alexandra Billings and I do our Tony recap. Plus, we mourn the loss of two legends, Sid Charisse, the beautiful and elegant Sid Charisse, and also news legend Tim Russert. And we got to talk about cougars because we've got to have something that makes us feel uplifted and, well, I should say I feel uplifted. Guilty pleasures. Alexander Billings doesn't believe in guilty pleasures. They're all just pleasures. And Richard Knight Jr. takes us to Get Smart at the Movies. Ooh, Alex is with us. I love it.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Alexandra Billings.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Raised up on Midwestern dreams, only a few shall get. But everyone shall need. I took my family's burden, strapped it to my chest, a few hundred bucks and a kiss for luck. And I pointed my dreams west to
listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 220. Can you believe it? I'm Amy Matheny.
Oh, I'm Alexandra Billings.
You are.
That was your trumpet for the 200, whatever you just heard. That was trumpet. Okay. Yes. Oh, yes.
We tend to start our shows with music and trumpeting.
Yes, that's correct.
Sing-alongs.
Sing along, won't you?
How the hell are you? You're in like the coolest state in practically the entire 50 states, Miss California.
Well, to be honest, it's not today. It's not the coolest today. It was 105 degrees.
God, it was gorgeous here.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you.
76 and breezy and sunny, and I was at the beach. Beautiful.
It was cuckoo here. People were walking outside and literally melting into their shoes. There were just puddles with eyeballs and fingernails. It was nuts. It was really strange.
When I meant coolest, I don't think I meant temperature. Just kind of, you all are having the big hootenannies now. Everybody's, the Hatfields and McCoys are hooking up.
Did you just say hootenanny?
I like to say hootenanny. I've seen your hootenannies.
Don't ever. Say hootenanny again.
Say hootenanny like Katharine Hepburn.
What did that hootenanny? For heaven's sake, listen, Norman. First, you've got to fix the screen. And then I'm going to put on my checkered dress. And we're going to go to the hootenanny. Wee. Yes.
How's California? Are y'all all getting married? Is it crazy?
It's, well, you know, we're headed towards a maybe strike again. So We're all kind of sitting on the edge of our seats going, please, dear God, I don't want to go on food stamps, please. So everybody's, you know, kind of freaking out a little bit. But, you know, yeah, it's Hollywood. It's what it is.
Who's striking? Directors, actors, writers?
SAG. Oh, SAG. Our union. Our actors union.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they might. We might. They, me, we, us. Yes. All together.
All of your personalities.
All of my, every one of me.
They're all in the union.
I've got to be me. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Just when it got kind of started up again, the big heels might go down.
I know. It's crazy. It's insane. I don't want to. Ugh. Do we have to?
No,
please.
Let's not. Do you know anybody who went and got married at the old courthouse this week?
Well, besides George Takei.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, let me just say this. And I love that guy because I love me some Star Trek, but that guy is cuckoo.
Yeah, for Cocoa Puffs?
He's a nut burger. Have you seen this guy? And he's got some kind of, and I'm just going to repeat, I love him. But I was watching him and he was giving some interview and he was like, I believe that I love him. And so I said to him, I said, and I'm like, what is he all, did he have a small stroke? What's going on? It was weird, but he looks very happy. So I shouldn't make fun. But I have to say, Chris Ann and I are going this week.
Are you?
Yes, indeed.
I think we should record live while you all do it.
We should?
Why not? Call me on your cell phone and we'll just hold up the cell phone and record it.
Seriously,
send it out
can
over
we do
the
that?
Podcasting waves. It might be the very first ever podcast marriage from California.
Well, let me just clarify something.
Yes, I know you're already married. Remarriage.
Yes.
Certification.
Thank you.
Recertification.
I've been married for 11 years. I don't need the law to tell me whether or not I've been married. They can suck it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a certificate. Mm-hmm. That's all. And I want to make that very clear. Don't think I don't intend on telling whoever it is that's talking to us just that.
Yeah. Can you post-date it?
It was post-dated.
That would be
funny.
Only
people who watch I Love Lucy will understand why that's funny.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's funny.
That's okay. That's it's all right, honey.
I haven't seen enough episodes, obviously.
Yeah, it's true.
But somehow I set you up brilliantly for that little moment, so that's good.
It was post-dated.
Are you really going this week? What day are you going? Thursday?
I'm not sure. Well, I leave for Fresno on Saturday or Sunday, so it has to be either Thursday or Friday. That's going to be one of those 2 days.
Fresno? What are you doing in Fresno?
I have to go teach with the Steppenwolfians.
Ah. Well,
speaking of
the Steppenwolfians, we have not spoken since the big, great, smashing, exciting Chicago Takes All Tony Awards.
Oh, wasn't that a thrill?
So exciting.
Oh, my God. The funny thing is I was getting phone calls all day long. Amy Morton called me. Rondi called me. Jeff Perry called me. Everyone was calling each other. And here's the funny thing. Amy Morton, who, as you know, is a wonderful person and fantastic and has a fantastic sense of humor, but tends to be a little to herself, you know, a little serious at times, you know, that's her core personality, but that's sort of the image she sort of presents to the world. And so to hear her voice so excited and so thrilled and so, you know, frightened and happy and weirded out. It was the most thrilling night, I have to say. And the funny thing was, as they were on the red carpet, you know, because I was calling them every 10 minutes. I was so excited. So I called Jeff and I said, and I forgot about the time change. So I called Jeff and I said, listen, as soon as you guys, you know, get in, call me because I'm really excited and I really want to. And he's going, Alex, I'm on the red carpet right now. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah, I'm talking to E.T. and I'm talking to you on the cell phone at the same time.
Ah.
It was fantastic. It was such a great night.
She looked beautiful, Amy Morton, because I kept having to pan to her because literally her name got more exposure than anything. More than in the Heights, her name was said.
That's true. You know, the great thing about that is that Amy is, you know, such a driving force in the Steppenwolf and is also, and may I just say, a brilliant teacher, brilliant Meisner teacher, and also a driving force in that play. And what's terrific is it's such an ensemble piece that everybody gets their moment to shine. And yet everyone sort of has to work together. And what was so triumphant about that was Rhonda really summed it up, you know, when she won for Best Featured Actress. She kind of said, you know, she repeated Amy's name three times, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
And you just cannot get past the fact that her performance is sort of transcendental in a way.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone's is. Deanna is magnificent in that play. Magnificent.
Yeah.
But really, Amy's is, there's something really unique and special about her performance. There really is.
Yeah. No, I agree. No. I thought she was, she is, I mean, she's gotten her props, don't get me wrong, but I mean, she is really a bit unsung in her strength, the necessity of her role. And I think that group knows that, you know, and, and it's just, it's such an amazing thing that they won so many awards, and that I love that Tracy Letts kind of said, proves that you can have a show on Broadway that's a big hit that has all theater actors in it who nobody knows, you know, like real theater actors. And I wanted to say, who's going to applaud at that fucking line, since we've got, like, you know, Katie Holmes and Daniel Radcliffe and all these movie actors on stage, you know? It's like, who are these people?
I know. But they did. They loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it.
They continue to love it. Miss Morton stays in the cast. Rondi Reed and Deanna have both left the cast, along with Francis and some others. But it's still going strong.
Eric.
And Jeff's left. But the big Chicago Shakespeare also winning the award for the night. So it was like a Chicago sweep.
I know. You know what's great about that is that, and I've done theater in a lot of places, and I love New York, and I love L.A., but Chicago, I feel, has always gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to theater. And you know this, being a working actor, Amy, is that, you know, we, you and I, when we go out to audition in Chicago and we go out for, you know, the big touring companies or the big plays at the big theaters, they usually end up casting New York people, which is fantastic. But now we can say, look, we have a myriad of Tonys here in Chicago, so don't discount us anymore. You cannot do it.
Yeah. What do you think's the next big theater company? Because now Goodman has won the Tony, Steppenwolf's won the Tony, Chicago Shakespeare's won the Tony, Victory Gardens has won the Tony. Who do you think's the next one? I hope it's About Face. Wouldn't it be amazing if in like 5 years About Face wins the Tony?
I would pee on myself.
If we had a queer theater company finally win the fucking Tony, that would be genius, wouldn't it?
First I would pee on you, and then I would pee on me.
Please do. I love the
water sports.
And then
I might go over across the street and pee on our neighbor.
That would be good.
I think it's going to be Northlight.
You know, I think Northlight could do it.
Yep. And they
deserve
it.
And Looking Glass has never won one.
Looking Glass, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But listen, if Looking Glass
wins, in the next 5 years, who knows?
But if Looking Glass wins, then we need to win. Because that's Looking Glass and About Face. We're kind of neck and neck. You know what I mean? As far as like.
They have a lot more money. They have David Schwimmer. They have Schwimmer money. Come on.
Yeah, but
they have
Friends
money.
Come on now.
That's real money.
Well, yeah, but still.
We have Monopoly money, and they have Schwimmer money.
Hey, they got me. I have a little bit of money. I don't have any money.
You don't have any money.
No, I don't have anything.
They should have had you. Wait. You should have been on Friends. Why weren't you on Friends?
I don't know. Listen.
Then you could have been our Schwimmer.
Did you hear that?
No.
Do it again.
Oh.
That's good.
Well, let's take a really quick break on that little and tell people what's going on in the theater community. You want to do that?
Wait.
And then we'll come back.
Break. Wait, hang on a second. Here.
And we'll be back.
The critics call it a blockbuster, a phenomenon, a show that makes you laugh, cry, and think. Audiences call it the most thrillifying theatrical experience of a lifetime. Now, at Chicago's Ford Center Oriental Theater, you can discover for yourself that everything you've heard about Wicked is true. Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, the musical that changed Chicago for good.
Boss's favorite team, the Wizard and Lev.
Are you ready to meet the Wizard? Call Ticketmaster.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Club.
For the week of June 23rd, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater presents The Lion in Winter by James Goldman, directed by Rick Snyder. The Wall Street Journal calls it one of the finest shows in recent seasons, not just in Chicagoland, but in all of America. And the Chicago Tribune calls it a juicy revival. For tickets and more about The Lion in Winter, log on to writerstheater.org.
Now playing at Steppenwolf in the Upstairs Theater, Dead Man's Cell Phone by Sarah Rule. The Reader says it's a hilarious and delightful, and the Tribune calls it fearless and surreal. Dead Man's Cell Phone, a quirky modern adventure about a long-distance journey into the mysteries of life. For tickets, visit steppenwolf.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Welcome to Camp Camp,
America's premier summer camp for GLBT adults. Dozens of daily activities like swimming, softball, and tennis. And special evening programs every night.
The tea dance was a lot of fun.
I love the barn dance. That's my favorite part of camp.
The talent show. I absolutely love the talent show.
Remember when summer was the best time ever?
Well, it still is.
Camp Camp.
August 24th through the 31st. Visit campcamp.com.
You might know she's a friend. At least I tell you so. But it might surprise you to find there's something going on behind the door. When I'm asleep, it gives me time to think thoughts that I wouldn't dare speak aloud. I couldn't bear myself before.
Are you going to see lots of movies out there? Do you see movies? Is living in LA a different thing about going to see movies? Is it like a weekly you have to?
No.
Y'all are on the biz of film out there.
I don't go see. But you know me, Amy, I don't do anything really except work and then I come home. So no, I haven't seen. The last thing we saw was the Indiana Jones travesty.
Oh. Have you seen Iron Man?
I haven't. I want to see Iron Man.
Kelly and I went to Iron Man. We had big fun.
I got to tell you something. We were so excited about Indiana Jones and we went, and I'm telling you, it looked like the road company of Cocoon was putting this thing on. It was insane. Everyone moved like they were 150 years old. The most exciting thing that happened, spoiler alert, if anybody hasn't seen it, stop listening for 5 seconds. In the middle of the movie, when What's Her Butt comes on, I guess it's not a spoiler. I can't remember her damn name.
Kate Blanchett.
What the hell was up with that accent? Where was she supposed to be from anyway?
I haven't seen it. I can't speak to it. I can only speak to the hair.
Well, the hair and the accent, she got them out of a trunk because I have no idea. And it was and Kate Blanchett is a genius. I have no idea what the hell she was doing. But anyway, then I shouldn't tell you because you haven't seen the movie. Anyway, this big surprise happens. And that was exciting. And all of us together in the movie theater, we all went, oh, hooray. And then 5 minutes later, we were all back asleep.
Oh, no. Really?
It's the most boring, dull, ridiculous, mundane movie I've seen in about 15 years. It is not worth your money.
Oh, Richard Knight Jr. kind of liked it, so
well,
I don't know.
I love him, but he's cuckoo.
Okay, for Cocoa Puffs.
And wrong.
Well,
wrong
if you want to go see the good action film with, I thought, just a really a lot of heart, and it's, you know, once again, it's not reinventing the wheel, but Iron Man is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Robert Downey, very cool. My girlfriend, who doesn't even like those kind of movies, she was like, I thought there could be more action, but I liked it, which was so hilarious because she doesn't really love action movies. But it's really a cool one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Kind of in the mood to go see. I still don't get Gwyneth Paltrow. She doesn't really answer anything for me, but, you know.
What is it you'd like her to answer?
I don't know. You know, I mean, she just doesn't seem to fill out the equation usually for me. I liked her in Shakespeare in Love, and I liked her in Emma. And other than that, don't know. But she was okay. She was okay. But Robert Downey Jr., he's just a brilliant, brilliant performer. Just
it's good.
And is having the time of his life. And also bringing a lot of depth that who knows if this movie even deserved. But now there'll be a sequel, so he'll get to do it again. You know, because it's made shitloads of cash.
Right.
But we kind of lost one of the grand dames to me of classic movies and definitely movie musicals this week when Sid Charisse just passed away. Seriously, was she the most gorgeous thing on two legs in the entire world or what? It's crazy, though.
So, you know, we're out here teaching. The Steppenwolf is out here teaching, and a lot of our students are like mid-20s or late-20s.
They have no idea who she is.
Well, here's what happened. Last week, or whenever she died, I can't remember, whatever last class I had, I was talking to my class, and I said, well, it's a very sad day because we lost Sid Charisse. And one of the kids went, oh, no. And I was so thrilled that he knew who I was talking about. I was like, yes. I said, do you believe that? And he turns to me and he goes, oh, God, I loved him.
Who do you think it was?
I don't know. Charlie Chaplin? I have no idea. I don't know. Sid? I don't know.
Sid Caesar? Cesar Romero? Who do you think he was?
I have no earthly. But I got so angry. I was like, what? What? What did you say? What? 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 Come here.
Yeah.
Smacked him around. Yeah, it was really, well, you know, they're all leaving us is what's so sad.
Yeah.
All the biggies leaving us. Yeah. And the great thing, let me just say this. The great thing about Sid Charisse is that I never thought she was a great actress, but the great thing about her is that neither did she. She never pretended to be anything that she wasn't. She was fantastic in Grand Hotel. I saw that with her. She was not with her. She was in it. She was sitting next to me. No.
Yeah.
She was in it. And it was a terrific performance. And, you know, she, in my opinion, she and Ann Miller, I think were the two greatest female dancers I think we've ever had. And Charisse could do anything and expressed herself solely through her body and through dance. And you could see how much she loved it and see how much it meant to her. I mean, she came much like Judy when she Garland, you know, when she sang, Sid Charisse came alive when she danced. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but it's very not that I know this, but I know this from reading because I'm obsessive compulsive. She went, you know, when they made movies back in the day, it was a 14 to 17 hour day. It was take after take after take after take, you know, big, huge sets, body makeup, huge costumes. This was a big deal. Not that it's not like that today, but there were very different rules back then.
Yeah.
And for her to crank out the kind of performances that she gave us through all that adversity, you got to, even if you hate dance, you have to at least look at that and go, well, She got it. She knew what the hell she was doing.
Yeah.
Wasn't amazing.
She was truly one of the most gorgeous images I ever remember seeing on on film. I mean, I remember her from such a young age, and I remember my mom or my dad, I don't remember which, probably my mom. Because we would watch, I remember when Ted Turner was like starting his network, and so we'd get all the older movies and you know, they were piping him in from Atlanta. This is pre-CNN days. This is pre-everything. This is when he was I'm going to create a channel, you know. And so we
I'm going to create a channel.
Yeah, I got a lot of money.
I have some tin foil and some rabbit ears.
Exactly. And we would watch these movies. And I remember my mother going, you know, that's Sid Charisse. And she was what I thought a gorgeous woman was supposed to look like. To me, in my head. And I know your background's in dance. My background as a child was in dance, too. And I was so mesmerized by her. I just couldn't not watch her. I mean, more so than Ginger Rogers or, I mean, anybody else. I just loved her. If we say movie musicals, I probably went to Debbie Reynolds. There was probably that era for me. But I'm telling you, nobody was like Sid Charisse. And you know what? She was gorgeous. She was a gorgeous older woman, too. I mean, she was mm-hmm. always beautiful.
Yeah, wasn't she? She kind of aged like Olivia de Havilland used to age. Like,
yeah.
Just beautiful and sort of lovely and sort of upper, you know, fantastic skin and not pulled and tucked and pitted and gutted and fished out. And what am I talking about? But like, you know, I don't know what I just said, but like shiny and stuff, you know, they aged gracefully and they aged. I mean, they had lines and things and they looked beautiful, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sad, sad thing. But let me tell you, now they don't make them like that anymore. They just
don't.
And
now everyone looks like shiny glass, like you Windex the top of your like cocktail table or something. Everybody looks like shiny glass.
Yeah, we're stopping. We're stopping and seeing images of what our aging looks like, right? I mean, it's just not represented anymore in film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Richard Knight Jr. is with us today. He's got his movie minute, and he's taking us back to the classic Get Smart, which I used to love Get Smart.
Me too.
Oh, my Lord. Was the funniest thing. It used to make me laugh. Yeah. I mean, I loved Get Smart and the Carol Burnett Show more than I can tell you. Like, those two things made the end of my day like the funniest, happiest thing ever.
Please.
So let's see if the movie can do it any justice. Richard Knight Jr. going to tell us about Get Smart.
Oh, I hope he likes it.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Director Peter Siegel makes fair to middling by-the-numbers comedies that offer audiences just enough laughs to keep them afloat and stay in the mind as long as it takes to get from Megaplex to the parking garage. If there is anything about his new movie, Get Smart, that will save it from the same mindless fate, it's the presence of funny man Steve Carell in the title role of bumbling secret agent Maxwell Smart, who delivers plenty of laughs. Get Smart is a big-budget version of the Mel Brooks Buck Henry 1960 secret agent parody TV sitcom, in which the top-secret control battled the nefarious chaos. Many of the jokes from the show, the shoe phone, the descending phone booth, the cone of silence, are kept for the movie. Some with a wink, some with a spin, many just as they were in 1965. Anne Hathaway plays Agent 99, Smart's much more competent female equivalent. She's given raccoon eye makeup and slinky outfits, but lacks the luscious sexiness of the usual spy sidekick. She's no Mrs. Peel. And there's zero chemistry between she and Carell either. The movie's real sex symbol is Dwayne Johnson, who no longer wishes to be addressed as The Rock, by the by, as hunky Agent 23. Johnson looks great in his tailored suits and shares the movie's most memorable moment, a full-on kiss with Carell. It's not that the kiss itself is so surprising. This tight gag between two macho guys has been used in movies and on TV over the last decade to the point of ad nauseum. It's that Siegel doesn't have the characters immediately afterwards have to use mouthwash or do something excessively manly. That makes it refreshing and truly funny. Nothing else in Get Smart delivers anything nearly as inventive, though it's an easy winner for audiences in a one-on-one contest with Mike Myers' new comedy, The Love Guru, which opened the same day. That is, unless you're an audience member that's looking for a maximum of dick jokes and a minimum of laughs. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
So he's not wild about the film.
What?
He's not wild about the film, so...
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was sleeping.
You were sleeping. I don't know.
Why
I still may have to see it,
because,
you know, I still may have to see it.
I'm going to go
anyway.
I don't care what Richard Knight says.
Okay.
I don't give a care.
You don't care?
I don't give a care. I'm going anyway. I love... What's her nipples? What the heck is her name? Who's the girl that's in it? Oh, I love her. I love her. I don't know why. I think she's charming and sweet, and I just love her. I think she's a doorbell, for heaven's sake.
Steve Carell,
what's wrong? I'm loaded. Steve Carell could come over to my house and read the back of my plants, and I would fall over laughing. I think he's a genius. I don't even know what that means, but that's how funny he is.
Yeah.
Scooby Dooby Doo.
Scooby Dooby Doo. Hey, are you having any guilty pleasures this summer? I know we both love the So You Think You Can Dance. Guilty pleasure of mine.
Listen, let me tell you something. You know, you and I have had this conversation before. I do not believe in that phrase, guilty pleasure. If I watch something,
Are you enjoying and having pleasure at anything this summer that you're watching?
I am in love with So You Think You Can Dance. I am in love with America's Got Talent. And let me tell you something, the other thing I'm in love with.
Okay.
Million Dollar Password.
Oh, dear. With Betty White?
Yes! Oh.
I have not watched it. I'll have to.
You have to, because it's fantastic for anyone. Well, it's fantastic for anybody of any age, but truly for people of like my ilk, the over 40 crowd, it's really great. Because first of all, can you really have enough Betty White?
No.
You can't. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, it brings back that fabulous game that was one of the best game shows on television ever.
Yeah.
That and What's My Line? What's my freaking line?
Well, speaking of women in your certain ilk,
you know
I like the Cougars.
Cougar? What?
The older
women.
Is that
a baseball team?
Oh. No, it's the older women.
You know, older women.
Wow. You know, like the Demi Moore is Cougar to Ashton Kutcher. And I don't know. Whomever is the older woman in people's lives, that would be the Cougar. Well, there's this new show on, I think it's on TV Land. I don't even know. I just tell my TiVo, make sure I don't miss it. But it's
the
called
Old Lady Beauty Pageant.
Yeah, she's got the look.
Love it.
Looking for a supermodel over the age of 35. And I'm like, that could be my autobiography.
Looking for a supermodel over the age of 35.
Looking for beauty over the age of 35. I really think you don't even become beautiful till you're 35.
Is that what you think?
I do.
Well, how nice for you.
I think your surface pretty. You can be really pretty under 35, but I think you become beautiful after you have some life.
Well, that's because you're old.
Well, not that old.
You're not that old. No. You're not as old as I am.
No.
I'm older.
You're older.
I'm old.
You're not old.
I am old.
But seriously, I love these women. And they're just as catty. That and the search for Elle Woods, Legally Blonde, with these 19-year-olds through 22-year-olds literally wanting to scratch each other's eyes out to get a Broadway show cracks me and Steven Rader up.
The thing that kills me about the show is it gives every single actress a bad freaking name. And I'm going to take all those little girls and wring their – first I want to feed them a donut, and then I'm going to wring their – scrawny little necks and go, you guys, will you freaking realize how lucky you are for the, but you know, I realize it's reality TV and it's scripted and I get that whole
thing. No, I already know who's going to win, and she's unassuming. She's going to win it. I can tell you. And she's nice and she's professional and she's one of the oldest ones there and she'll win it. But the others, the little 19 and 20 year olds that are clawing at each other and way too perky, they make for television fun.
I guess that's right.
All right. I'm just telling you.
No, well, you're right. Of course, it's screwing us all out of jobs. You realize that, don't you?
They're not going to cast me in Legally Blonde the musical.
I'm
not 20
God,
anymore.
Stay with the conversation, Matheny. What I'm saying is that they're shoving all of the scripted television shows out the window so all these bimbos can ride high on their reality TV.
Yeah.
They're screwing us out of work.
This is what I think. I think it's because producers and casting directors and choreographers want to be celebrities now with their faces on screen, and so they're all wanting to be judges and judge and jury, but make money out of it.
I actually would disagree with you.
No.
I think the reason is because the mentality of the TV watching public has gone. There's so much crap to look at now. You have iPods and ePods and poo pods and zippity doo dah pods and all kinds of things going on in your computer and games and X-Men and Z-Men and penis men, and there's all kinds of things going on. So many things to look at that when you turn on the TV, you don't want to see a script. You want to peek into somebody else's life so that you can sit in judgment.
Yeah.
I really believe that's true.
Yeah.
There's so much stimuli coming at everybody right now. They want to feel superior. So this reality TV now has really taken off.
Yeah.
I think it's us. I don't think it's the casting people. I think it's us.
Okay. All right.
Cuckoo.
I'll let you have that.
That's the fourth time I've said cuckoo. I've said cuckoo a lot.
And I've said Cocoa Puffs a couple of times for you.
I'm going to stop saying it. That's what I've decided.
All right.
Right now. Stop saying
it. We're going to go do some serious stuff then on that cuckoo note.
Serious?
We're going to tell you what's going on in the news, and then we're going to talk about the passing of a news giant also this past week. So this is the news, and we'll be back.
Hi there, I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Hundreds of gay and lesbian couples wed across California last week. All 58 counties in California are issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Last month, the California Supreme Court lifted the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Among those married were George Takei of Star Trek and his longtime partner Brad Altman. Hundreds tied the knot, including couples from out of state.
The ACLU filed a discrimination lawsuit on behalf of a transgender truck driver claiming that Kaylee Seals was illegally fired by the Old Dominion Freight Lines for impersonating a female. Before being fired, Seals told her employer that she was transitioning from male to female and informed her supervisor of harassment she received by other employees because of her appearance. During her time working for Old Dominion Freight Lines, Seals received a number of awards for her work.
A gay man who has protested against the Federal Defense of Marriage Act by not paying taxes for 5 years may face up to 15 years in prison. The IRS charged Charles Merrill, 73, with tax evasion. His trial begins in November. He started his protest in 2004 out of anger that he and his longtime partner must file taxes separately since the federal government does not recognize same-sex relationships.
A social networking site for lesbian and gay people was launched in Jamaica, where gay sex is illegal and GLBT people are often victims of hate crimes and police abuse. RainbowVibes.com is an online hub for Caribbean gay, lesbian, bisexual individuals living at home and overseas, in addition to many others across the globe. The site was created by a Jamaican IT executive and is similar to popular social networking site Facebook.
A Pennsylvania grandmother was recently charged with aggravated battery and simple assault for beating her 16-year-old granddaughter with a cane and a belt after she found her in bed with a girl. The 61-year-old grandmother was also charged with recklessly endangering another person and endangering the welfare of a child, according to the Associated Press.
Americans are split on whether or not they think gay relations is morally acceptable. Results from Gallup's 2008 Values and Beliefs poll show that Americans are equally divided over the issue, with 48% believing homosexual relations to be morally acceptable and 48% believing such relations to be morally wrong. Out of 16 major social issues, homosexuality was the most divisive.
Conservative radio host Michael Savage said this past week, "The homosexual mafia is destroying the minds of children." A caller mentioned having to explain to his child why two men were holding hands, and Savage replied, "You've got to explain to the children why God told people this was wrong. You have to explain this to them in this time of mental rape that's going on. Children's minds are being raped by the homosexual mafia. That's my position." The Savage Nation radio host has made many homophobic remarks. In 2003, Savage was canned by MSNBC for anti-gay comments.
I Kissed a Girl singer Katy Perry said her chart-topping song was inspired by her real-life mini-crushes on two female celebrities. "All of my songs are kind of like chapters from my brutally honest diary of my life. With that song, I was reading a magazine and opened it to a picture of either Scarlett Johansson or Megan Fox, and I turned to my boyfriend and said, you know, if they walked through the door and asked me to pucker up, I would just do it."
New York art dealer Sam Green is considering a defamation lawsuit against the new film Savage Grace because of a gay love scene. The movie about Barbara Bakeland and her son, Tony, depicts Green, played by Hugh Dancy, having sex with Tony, played by Eddie Redmayne. Savage Grace's producers point out that the film has a disclaimer that some characters are composites. And that's The Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Every year you make staggering advances in technology, like air, more air, slightly less air, and a separate air chamber for maximum air.
She's gonna blow!
Good ball handling skills, sound fundamentals, a killer outside shot. all completely useless unless we're wearing your sneakers.
I got a 2-inch vertical.
They're designed to last for a decade, which is just about the time we'll have them paid off.
I'm living in my van.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old Sultan of the Sneaker. We may never make a layup, but your shoes will always be a slam dunk.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Bud Light beer at Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite gal, Amy.
So, Alex, can you believe Tim Russert has left us, that Meet the Press is not going to be the same? Was this something that's a part? Are you a news heavy? Because I'm a news junkie, so I really I don't talk junkie. About a ton of it on the podcast because we kind of keep it light and fluffy. But I really cannot believe that he died so suddenly. And I can't believe, I don't even think I knew the extent to the power and networking and what a giant he kind of was behind the scenes.
I didn't know that either, actually.
I don't know how many of us did. I mean, I'd obviously think his core group of people from network to network all knew. And definitely nothing more moving than his memorial service and the range of people that spoke in his honor. But I mean, it's just intensely moving to have heard the kind of man he was behind who we all got to know, and then the same time to know that he was kind of the conduit for so much of it. I just didn't realize.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it was weird because I remember when Walter Cronkite stepped down. You know, I remember when Peter Jennings stepped down. Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, Peter Jennings passing, just, I'm still not over that.
No, it's terrible. So it's weird, especially considering, like, when you sort of, even if you don't watch the news, and even if you don't know this guy's name, when you see his face, you're like, oh, I know that guy.
I think everybody knows his name. I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, I thought it was so shocking. I mean, so many people know Tim Russert. Know the name, know what he's done, seen him deliberate, lead, you know, lead Meet the Press, lead some sort of conversation after a major event, obviously was just a primary proponent of anything that was going on with any of the primary process this year, 4 years ago, 4 years before that. I mean, he's just ever present. So it seems odd that he's not present. And I was so moved by his son, who was 22 and just, I mean, I thought, God, what a legacy that you left in this kid, you know?
Yeah. Huh?
Really amazing.
I know. It really was. It really was sad. It really was sad. And the thing about it is like, you know, you have these people who bring us, you know, the stuff that's sort of going on outside the world, and they sort of step into our living rooms and they go, okay, you guys, here's what's going on. Here's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody sort of does that, as opposed to, you know, a character in a sitcom or something, when somebody sort of does that for years and years and years at a time, you begin to trust them. Mm-hmm. You know, and they become part of sort of your touch with the world, you know, not just the United States, but the world. And so when they sort of leave, at least for me anyway, when they leave, I'm sort of like, oh, gee, boy, he was such a, like, I knew him, like, oh, he was right. Such a nice guy. Yeah. Or he was so smart, you know, where I really trusted him, you know.
Well, he got so much flack. He, George Stephanopoulos, and who was the third one? Was it Charlie Gibson? For one of the last big debates between Barack Obama
right.
and Hillary. And, you know, probably not the greatest last event.
No, not really.
In his, you know, in the legacy of what he's done. But, I mean, let's just notch it up to the, it was just kind of a fiasco. And they did a hell of a lot of debates, more than anybody, I think, in the history.
It really was a fiasco. But, you know, you can't, I mean, the whole thing, like, where's your flag? I was like, I'm going to stick my head up my own ass right now.
Yeah.
But I think you have to look at his body of work. You can't just look at one.
Yeah,
thing.
Which is mammoth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I wonder who they will find now, because they all, you know, he was really known. And as somebody who interviews people and talks to people, I am not I'm not in the same field. You know, I'm not really trying to get the hard story out of somebody. I'm not trying to get someone not to spin speak to me. Generally, if I don't want somebody to give me spin, mean read me press release and just pitch me back phrases that they're going to give any other press person, I don't ask to interview those people. Like, I don't want to interview publicists. I don't want to interview PR people. I avoid that, you know, with organizations or any of that. But he was so good. They said he was kind of like friendly fire. You know, he would sit you down. He was the nicest guy. He would go at you and go at you and go at you, not let you evade a question, which is why he was so good on Meet the Press. And then he'd like kind of get up and slap you on the ass and be like, that was fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I
mean, that's right.
And people
yeah,
still
kind of
liked
that.
Him. But man, he put the spotlight on you. He interrogated in a way that was like, we need to know the real answers. And I always really admired that. You know, everybody's kind of got a different style. You know, Cronkite kind of gave us the news.
Cronkite?
I can't even say his name. Walter Cronkite gave us the news in a particular way. You know, he was brilliant at delivery.
He was like your dad. You know, yeah. Like your dad coming home and going, listen, this is what happened when you were at school. Oh, my God, right. I just did Walter Cronkite.
You did. Brilliant.
I'm brilliant.
You're scaring me. You know, Barbara Walters, kind of the first of her kind to really, maybe Rona Barrett, Barbara Walters, those kind of people getting
Rona
us into.
Barrett. Remember Rona Barrett?
Yeah, getting us into kind of like a softer, try to find the humanity in an interview. But Tim Russert was really out for the truth. He really wanted to, he could disagree with you, but he really just kind of honed in. You know, and really that was his goal, you know, was to get the story. And wow, it's very moving. If you're listening and you haven't watched on YouTube or Huffington Post has a lot of these linked, like all of the speeches and Bruce Springsteen playing at his memorial and Maria Shriver, I thought her memorial was just really beautiful. And talk about somebody who understands loss, her family. I mean, just dealing with it time and time again. Now Ted Kennedy. I mean, it's just, I thought her memorial
Poor Ted,
was,
good heavens to Murgatroyd.
So
could he
sweet.
Have more tragedy in his life?
Yeah.
Good
well, that
Lord.
Whole family.
Oh, and now his brain is exploding. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. What's happening?
Yeah. I don't know. Crazy
world. I don't
world.
Know either. Speaking of someone's brain exploding, did you see Liza on the Tonys?
I did. Why did you
oh
think?
My.
Because her bra? Well, because she was Juna's busting out all over? Why was she wearing a bra and a midriff?
This is what I was like. I wanted to call her on the phone and go, Liza, listen. Listen to me, Liza. Liza, put it down. Put it down. Just listen to me for a second. You cannot dress like that anymore. I love you. You're a legend. You can't call Julie Andrews. You cannot do this anymore.
She came on stage and Kelly said, I don't get it. I know, like, she's Judy Garland's daughter, but is she, like, really going to talk like that? Or is that, like, a caricature of herself? Or I don't understand. She's like, I just don't understand. Kelly has a really hard time wrapping her brain around
I understand. I don't blame her. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
That's it. That's just our Liza. She just, she's all wrapped up in stuff. She's got a lot of things going on. She's trying to get work and things are happening. And she just got a big award over at the Hollywood Bowl and I tried to get tickets, but they were sold out, which made me very sad.
Yeah,
but
at the Hollywood Bowl?
You know, she's still alive. She's happening.
She's still happening. Well, we will be back with another podcast with Alexander Billings. We're going to be talking
about. Oh, thank
God! In the next show, yeah, we're gonna talk about the transgender child. I don't know if you identified as a transgender child. I don't know. Does everybody who's transgender identify at a very young pre-adolescent age? This we're going to talk about in our next show. So, Alex, come back with us. We'll talk in a couple of days and. We're gonna dig and ask the questions and find out
I'm
truth.
Scared.
We're gonna do it Tim Russert style.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. This is something you know a lot about.
Hold me.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. and American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.